source for everything paranormal,
Para-X.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Live and direct from my subterranean lair of the spiritual realm inside the material plane of the third dimension of planet Earth. My name is Ra, and I'm here to awaken the dormant particles spiraling inside your DNA. So come with me as we go further down the mystical spiral of life. It's Spiral Radio, baby. For each and every week, we unveil the different shades of you and the different shades of me until we all vibrate the same frequency. I want to welcome everybody. We got a beautiful moon out tonight. It's transitioning from Cancer to ferocious Leo Lion. We got our friend and colleague Masaki Miyagawa here tonight, and I'm very excited to have him. We got a great month ahead of us too with Spiral Radio. Our websites are themysticalspiral.com. The YouTube page is Exploring the Ka with Ra Castaldo. And my guest website, Masaki Miyagawa, is at akaida.com, akaida.com. Masaki Miyagawa is a psychic. He has over 10 years of experience studying esoteric aspects of our world. His family has studied Buddhism for over 400 years, ladies and gentlemen. He currently provides various classes, workshops, services, consultations. He wants to get everybody acquainted with the value of energy work, meditation, numerology, and energy tools. He creates his own beautiful orgone pyramids. He has psychic classes. He does workshops. He is a numerologist. He has amazing numerology readings. And I really highly recommend him. He's done it one for me as well that went well over an hour. And then he emailed me about 60 pages or something like that of the most in-detail, accurate numerology reading I have ever seen. I want to welcome everybody. He's been a frequent guest here at Spiral Radio. Like many of my friends and colleagues, I will have them on a series of shows because 1 hour is just never enough to look into their deep and interesting lives. So I want to welcome our friend Masaki. How's it going, Masaki?
Hi, Ra. We're back, and you know, we can go in 360 degrees. So I'm excited, and it's few people that basically can freestyle and shop talk and bounce ideas off each other. So I think we're going to have a good talk tonight.
Yeah. It's very rare. You know, a lot of times with alternative talk radio, you have a very structured setting, or, you know, certain, you know, it's based on a whole topic, or, you know, there'd be questions that each other are sharing before the show. But basically, yeah, we freestyle it here at Spiral Radio, and it's very rare that we find, you know, both a host and a guest that can just freestyle on all these esoteric aspects of the paranormal. And you and myself are two mm-hmm. people in the field that are very well-versed. And you, like myself, also spent many years just thinking about these subjects, trying to improve our lives, improve our soul, our oversoul work. And, you know, that's why I really highly respect your views and your opinions and your work. I mean, you're not just like the pyramid guy or the numerology guy. You have, you know, such a wide variety of interests and, you know, work. It's really amazing.
Well, you know, I think it's a combination of the book learning, but then also the life experience. So I think for a lot of us, we had the interest, but really we were kind of forced by life experiences to go this way. Because me personally, I do have the family background. I did have the interest from when I was young. But then to kind of solve my problems, to heal myself, I really didn't do this for other people. The knowledge I've accumulated, it was for myself because I was working on myself. But now I'm able to take the knowledge I've accumulated and really bring it out to the public.
Yeah, and it's you know what's sometimes the best way to go down the spiritual path is when you get pushed, your back gets pushed to the wall, and you're kind of forced mm-hmm. down it, you know?
Well, that's the archetypal shaman's path, right? Or yeah. the hero's journey. But I can tell you, you probably know, Ra, this kind of knowledge does not come without some amount of personal sacrifice, right? It got my butt kicked for many years, but I made it through, and I'm here to tell the tale. So we're going to get into a lot of these kind of topics tonight that I think the listeners and we ourselves find interesting.
Yeah, and you know that's what gets me started right there with the numerology that you do and the readings that you do, because when you say, you know, you have to go through this, people have to go through the sacrifice to do this kind of work, it's so true, because if you go back through ancient times, I mean, every one of the mystics basically had to go through a sacrifice and a persecution basically mm-hmm. to get their beliefs out there. I mean, it goes from John Dee to Pythagoras to all of them. I mean, they were persecuted. I mean, mm-hmm. If you look at Pythagoras, I mean, this is basically where numerology came from. And, you know, he died a lonely man. I mean, they burnt down his schools and everything. You know, he might even commit suicide.
Do you want me to go into the whole topic of numerology?
I would love that.
Okay.
We got a full chat room, and I'm sure they would love that too.
Well, I know that you do your Strega readings and you use tarot cards, right? So
yeah, Oracle. I do Oracle.
There's different ways of doing an esoteric reading. People typically know about astrology. You can use tarot cards. You can do a straight abstract clairvoyant or so-called psychic reading. And numerology is also another way to read a person's personality, right? Because basically, this is one way to see what's going on with a person, you know, in their inner life, right? Because it's difficult to kind of like open a person up and look directly inside, but you can use a proxy like the stars, right? All good occultists know the principle of as above, so below, right? So basically, the day you were born with astrology, right? What was in the stars is mirrored in you. So we use the stars as a mirror to see what's going on inside a person, right? Similarly, tarot cards, there is like some kind of magnetic attraction.
Yeah.
When you ask a question, the right cards pop out. Now, how is that possible, right? Well, it's because the way we were told in school that reality works is not the total truth, right? There's actually a quantum attraction. There's a quantum entanglement. Just asking a question, the card is like magnetically attracted to come out, right? Now, numerology is the method that I really love, and I do readings, right? So how does that work? Well, basically, in numerology, we use the birth name and the day you were born, right? And in that information, in the name, just the name and the birthday, We can talk for well over an hour when I'm doing a reading, right? Like I gave a reading to you, right?
Yeah.
And would you say, because at that time I really didn't know you that well, you would say it was pretty pretty accurate, right?
I would say it was 100% accurate.
which is kind of trippy, right? Just because that's not using time of birth or location. That's just the name and the birthday, right? So basically, there's information like holographically encoded in your birth name and the birthday, right? So we're talking about numbers, right? It's numerology. So I really love to use this technique because we live in, especially in the West, in a very logical world, right? It's numbers is more concrete. It's less abstract than, say, tarot cards, right?
Yes, so universal language,
So basically, I can show you how I calculated the number, right? It's basically, you know, the day you were born, that's made of numbers, right? It has numbers in it. And I can show you how I calculated it. And once we, you know, come to a value, a number value, there's no argument what a number is. Number one's number one, number two's number two. And basically, throughout time, they've come to the conclusion that certain archetypes or personality types are represented in each number. Like you, Ra, you're like an alpha male type. You have a number one, right? And that's just number one's number one, right? So we have a different numbers in numerology, like a set of numbers, and each one represents the different personality types. Now, the birthday is made in numbers, right? But then we come to the birth name. So how do we calculate that? Well, the name is made of alphabetic letters, right? We from A to Z. And basically, these are like musical notes or tones, right? We know in music we have musical notes, right? So A, B, C, D, we can assign a value to them, like 1, 2, 3, 4. And it's a frequency. It's the patterns that run throughout all of creation, right? But it's also in your name.
Yeah.
So once we can calculate the whole name, just the vowels, just the consonants, and then using the birthday, we come to about five levels of personality. And we also have a biorhythm, like from the day you're born, a cycle starts. So from that, I can tell, you know, where you are in the cycle, when things are coming up, at a certain juncture, there'll be kind of a split in a life path. So based on this, well, I would just say, just based on this, in an hour talk, it gives very clear indications how to move forward in business, life path, and then how people act in relationship. It's basically the same how they act in business. So, for me, this is a great way to give a reading to advise people because it's very clear, it's very logical. Now, you know, both you and I, we love the very far out esoteric, right? But then when you're dealing with the general public, sometimes they can't wrap their mind around the very abstract things. So most people in the Western world, it's numbers they can deal with. And also, to me, it's 100% correct. I've read over 100 people. I haven't come across anybody that said, you know, it's off. So as long as the input information is correct, the birth name and the birthday, then what I tell you is going to be correct.
Well, then in the chat room, Misaki, they Kat was asking, like, suppose your parents didn't have your best interest in mind when naming you. Like, would that throw things off for you?
Well, this is interesting because
is it like a chaotic lifestyle then?
You know, well, you know, that would often be it would show in the numbers. Now, the major numbers come from the birthday, so those you can never change. You know, the life path and the birthday, the day, numerical day of the month from 1 to 31, you will always have that. You can't change that. Now, people do, you know, change their name sometime, like to an artist name or so forth. Or women, when they take on a married name, that actually does shift a portion of the chart. It's not the majority of the chart, but it does shift.
So, like, if like, would my numerology reading, like, say, if I use my my whole name, Ralph Anthony, instead of Ra. Would would that change my reading?
It will be slightly different, yeah. But wow. it wouldn't be like completely different, but it does shift. Also, in the esoteric or energy work, we have this thing called thought form, right? It's like a consciousness energy, right? So the more you use the name, even if you hadn't changed it legally, the more you use a name, the more power it develops.
Like intention, yeah, wow.
Yeah, so, you know, that also comes into play. So I'll ask, you know, what's your... Typically we use the birth name, but then, you know, often people, they'll be using another name. And then I'll ask, you know, do you have a married name? And then I can run like two or three charts and then kind of with my intuition, I can see where things are falling, you know?
That's so interesting because it really is. I mean, I do the more oracle readings, which is more like on the emotional side of you get more in tune with them. But like numerology is so interesting to me because it really is like the language in the universe. And like me being a musician, Misaki, like it really resonates and I really understand it because like the whole universe is designed this way. Like if you think about it, like the universe is math and music, like the planets, they stack up around the sun in like harmonic intervals and like light breaks into color harmonic intervals, like sound nodes are ruled by this, all that. Like it's really, that's like the basic of the whole universe is ruled by it. It's amazing. It's like the language of the gods almost, like,
this is the thing. True intelligence is pattern recognition, right? So all numbers, it's all patterns, it's all, you know, so-called sacred
true
geometry.
True insanity is doing the same pattern over and over again, right?
Right. And the, you know, this is another thing that it seems common today is the society, especially the Western society, which dominates the globe, right? It's just not the West. This is so-called modern society, so it covers the whole world, but it came from Western Europe, right? We're told that, you know, the highest pinnacle of our civilization is to be scientific, right? Which is but it's the Cartesian scientific, which is it's basically if you can touch it, feel it, measure it, it exists. But what if there's energy, right? Energy is somewhat amorphous. You can't really get your hands around it. So they kind of discount that. That includes the spirit, right?
Yeah.
So and they'll all often tell you, oh, you're just making things up in your mind. You're seeing patterns where they aren't there. And it also leads to saying, well, you basically do not trust your inner intuition, right? Because that's also amorphous. That's a spirit, right? So if you can convince people not to trust themselves, not to trust their God self, their connection, right? Connection to source. People say, well, nothing means anything. You know, anything means anything. There's no meaning in anything. Both you and I know that's completely ridiculous, right? Because there are definite patterns. Otherwise, how can you do a Schrager reading, an oracle reading, or how can I, just from somebody's name and their birthday, talk for over an hour and it's dead on?
Yeah. Right? Yeah, yeah. Just it's like when I do an oracle reading too. All I have them give me usually is their birth sign, like their horoscope sign, and then I'll picture that over like my pineal gland. I'll picture the sign, and somehow like, you know, I'll be like, what did you want me to focus on, or something like that, or just general reading, and then I'll let them talk for a minute, and I'll hear their voice, and we'll just be just talking, having a casual conversation. And as I'm picking up on their energy and their emotions when they're talking and what they're talking about, somehow magnetically, it's like I get a link to their thoughts. And it's like a card usually just pops right out. It'll just like pop out, you know, and it's like a magnet. It really is. And it's even I've been doing them since high school, basically, and I'm almost 40. So like after all these years, still, it amazes me each and every time how it's like it just pops out and it's like an unseen force, you know?
Well, you know, thing is today, the so-called, you know, science or the instrumentation is getting fine enough where they can start to measure these subtle energies which before they did not exist, but now they can measure them, and now they say, okay, now it does exist, which they're calling the quantum physics, right? So now we can explain scientifically what the ancients had always said. And what it is this kind of quantum entanglement, right? So like one holographic piece is connected to all other things that are connected to that, right? And this is the so-called orgone energy that I work with the pyramids, right? And this kind of life energy, the Chinese call it qi, the Vedics called it prana, right? This energy is it's exactly the same as a consciousness wave. Like the when you understand that, just thinking a thought, it's attached to thinking about a client and the question, it's automatically connected to the card that's going to pop out. It's quantum entanglement, you know, because really like one little piece is connected to the whole, right? So now we can start to understand in our day what like the scriptures say, what was first shall be last. And we're coming around to the point where all this, the so-called magical traditions and the ancient civilizations, we think that we are modern, but actually we're just catching up to what was always known.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to go into a little bit more about the numerology. So the main portion of the numerology I deal with is the Pythagorean numerology, which comes from Pythagoras, right? So the same guy that was talking about the Pythagorean theorem in geometry with the triangle, Pythagorean numerology. So basically,
music of spheres, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. This is metaphysics, right? So you know how they used to talk about alchemy and wizards and so forth. Yeah. The modern science says that's a joke, basically, right? But actually, what happened was the West, because you know, typically when you're talking to New Age people and so forth, they're like, "Oh, I'm into Eastern mysticism, I'm into yoga, I'm into Buddhism," which we'll talk about later, right? And they're always thinking, they're thinking the East is at somehow a higher level of spirituality than the West, right?
Because it's older, yeah, that's what they're thinking, because it's more ancient and more.
But what happened was the West had this also, because across the globe, every people, even the Nordics or the so-called Europeans, had a wisdom tradition. But what happened in the so-called Enlightenment era, which is a mind trick in itself, because they're saying, oh, we went to a higher level, right? Well, what happened is they dropped out the esoteric, because they used to teach, say, mathematics and geometry along with numerology, right? And don't you think if you taught this in school today, kids would get really excited because they're like, wow, this is really interesting. What's your number? Oh, let me do your number. It's like it's very exciting, right?
The life path number was so dead on for me too. When you talked about that, it was like, wow, that was so me.
So just in I consider numerology, it's very clear, it's very simple, but it's very powerful. And any kind of reading, the benefit is you get a greater knowledge of self, right? Just like the Greek said, know thyself. And we have the majority of the population running around with, they're not very self-aware. But if in this simple thing, which could be taught in elementary school, really, if they wanted to, they don't. Why? Because if you present one hand with the so-called Cartesian science and say, well, this is to the public, and you hide your other hand and put it in your pocket of the esoteric and the metaphysical, well, there are two halves of one whole, right? We always hear about this, the sacred feminine, which is the so-called spiritual, right? But there's also the sacred masculine, the logic. Well, they put the logic out in the front, but they hide the sacred feminine in their pocket. So basically, you would have a great advantage over people if you do that, right?
Yeah.
So, but now with the internet and there's so many sources to go to, you can contact Ra for a reading, or you can talk to me for a numerology reading, or you could yourself start studying some of these metaphysical topics. So, I think today there's more access than there's ever been in modern times. So, if people are interested in these kind of topics, it's basically the field is wide open, and I'm sure your listeners are our kind of people, that we love this kind of information, you know?
It definitely. I mean, you look in the chat room, I mean, the name's PSI right there.
Right?
Yeah. So, you know, it's they're the right people hear it, because you would think that sometimes, you know, the right people are listening. The people that want to find out, they do find out. And, you know, eventually the right people hear what they need to hear. It does. And while we were on Pythagoras, too, I wanted to bring up the fact, because we got, 5 minutes till break? Mm-hmm. I wanted to bring up the fact, too, that there's this story, and it's not anything that could be really verified. It's kind of just speculation, Masaki, but supposedly he found this baby at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was walking somewhere or something, and he found the baby looking up at the sun, and it was underneath a tree, and it was surviving off the dew of the tree. And he took the baby and raised it as his own. And supposedly he was getting information from this baby, and this is where he got all his mathematical stuff from. And he called the baby, he actually named the baby Astraeos, which it means of the stars, or star child.
Hmm. Well, I find it interesting that his name is.
I find that really interesting.
Well, I find it interesting. His name is Pythagoras, right? Because that's the Python.
Yeah.
That seems like dragon bloodline or something. But
like serpent.
But you know, actually, the numerology, it far predates Pythagoras. I think that a lot of these things they were just attributed to his school, so it became known as the Pythagorean numerology. But you know, also, I use what they call Chaldean numerology, which is more of a karmic-based number set. So now using both, I can go pretty deep. But as far as a lot of these guys like Pythagoras, it just goes to show you, we, in our so-called modern age, we don't know half of nothing.
Right? Yeah, no, and it feels like the more we learn, the more I realize we don't know anything, you know?
Well, I mean, the thing is that our human race is so traumatized, and that we have been through so many cycles of rises and falls in civilization, and that's aside from the modern trauma of just being in the society and what's going on, right?
And it's imprinted on us, yeah.
Yeah, well, actually, that trauma gets imprinted on the DNA. So,
yeah, for sure.
It's imprinted on our DNA, but it's also imprinted on our souls. So that's part of the work also, is that, you know, we're dealing with our daily life, but we have a lot of these karmic blocks or karmic issues, and they can be unblocked. But to work through that, and basically, you know, karma it's a kind of emotional stress or unresolved energy. It's like blocked up, right? So when you release it, you actually release that energy, and you have more energy available for you and to use in other things. Besides the fact that, you know, a lot of people, they just they don't know why they're having problems in their life, and sometimes it's not even from this particular lifetime, right? But you know, to work through it, the first thing you have to do is do the diagnosis, right? You have to see what's on the board, and I can tell you a lot of, like, you and I and a lot of our listeners, the normal Western hospital, they can fix broken bones and so forth, but these kind of deeper spiritual issues, they really can't. It's not their specialty, right? So then you have to do what you and I did, right? I don't know, at the beginning, if my early self would have looked at myself today, I would say, man, you are crazy. But we had to go this way, because I can't go to the hospital and say, hey, I'm dealing with XYZ of the esoteric. And they're just like, hey, buddy, that's not our area. I said, okay, I guess I'm going to have to go on this 10-plus year journey. And here we are, right?
Yep. And we only got like a minute to break, so you can't really answer the question now. But I guess one of our listeners, Kat, in the chat room was checking out your website, and she was asking, you know, why pyramids? It's a sacred geometry thing.
Why pyramids? I mean, I had some of these Orgone pyramids before that I had bought, but then I just started making them, and it became kind of an obsession, you know? So, and the pyramid shape itself, it's one of the best energetic shapes you can use, and then the combined with the material it's cast into, it's a double effect. You're getting a double energy effect. Mm-hmm.
So I hope that answers your question, Kat. And we're here with Misaki Miyagawa, if you're just joining us. And he is at Akaida.com. It's AKAIDA.com. And you can find me at TheMysticalSpiral.com. Coming up right now is a song called Pullover Smiles, which I wrote sitting on a curb in 2004 in the rain. Enjoy, sit back, relax, and let the song mean whatever it's going to mean for you. Spiral out.
Anywhere. Thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
And we are back. My name is Ra from TheMysticalSpiral.com. And we are with Misaki Miyagawa from AKAIDA.com. And we are going to go a little bit deeper on the second half of this show. The first half, if you're just joining us, we talked about Misaki's amazing numerology readings. He makes Oregon pyramids. He is a psychic, and he does consultations. So definitely hit him up on his website, which I will be posting on Facebook and on my website and all the social media outlets that are available. So basically, too, I wanted to talk about the state of the world right now, too, and the chaotic, that we both do readings too, Misaki. And so we both are getting a high number of emails from people and talking to a lot of people out there. I mean, you know, I guess a lot of the times people that are seeking readings in general are having problems to begin with. So I don't know if it's that we're just getting a lot of the people that are out there going through some things anyway. So, but it just seems like that there's such a high number of people that are emailing me that are just like, I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't have any energy. Mm-hmm. I feel like something's like feeding on me almost, like I'm self-loathing, you know, all this stuff, and they don't understand. They're like, I never was like this before. I just don't have any energy. I don't like myself. Mm-hmm. I just I'm at a crossroads, and they said it's been lasting for years, you know, a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And I really feel that, like, you know, I think that something has altered our spectrum of light as well, that we can't see what's around us, and a lot of us are just limited to the five senses. And you know, there's these energy vampires that's invisible to the naked mm-hmm. eye, you know, that it's like a movie that we can't see, you know, that's going on around us. And mm-hmm. and I think that something has changed the spectrum of light as well, that has limited us to not see it.
Well, you know, something came to mind, so I want to run through this real quick before we move on to the next point.
Yeah, yeah, don't forget.
Well, basically, what people have been doing is not cutting it anymore, because the energy has changed, right? The frequency has changed. If you follow any of the esoteric stuff, they said that we would come to this point. You know, that basically, you know, for me, it was very intense running up to 2012, and then I feel that it's continuing. But I think a lot of us that were deep into it, we kind of already passed that critical point, and now we're here to tell the tale and help people, you know? But the majority of the population, they've never worked on their stuff. But now it's coming to basically a head, and so they're feeling that in their life. And what you said is exactly true. The average person, they don't come looking for a reading for no reason. They're at a crossroads. And then basically the best reading is one that just confirms what they already know. But because a lot of people, they don't trust themselves, when they hear it from a third party, it confirms the feeling that they already had, right? Isn't that true when you do readings?
Yeah mm-hmm. for sure. Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's almost like it confirms what kind of like what you already knew, but it's like gives you a confirmation kind of. And it's also sometimes you run into the people that are thick-headed and they don't want to accept it until later on, and they'll call you back and be like, wow, you know, what you said a couple months ago was really – you know, mm-hmm. you know, and it's true. I mean, in the chat room, they said, what might a numerological reading be for the sun or moon?
Well, you know, there's certain aspects that you can connect to. There's an overlap between numerology and astrology. But I usually just keep that in my head. I don't tell the client, but I say like the number four. If the number four comes up, it's very close to like a Saturn aspect. It's very it's kind of a patriarchy, but in the good sense, you know. It's a traditional like family. I think you had a four. Can be somewhat hard headed, right? Yeah. But it's the
I
most
think I'm life path eight, but four is like my special number since I'm little. Right. I always loved four.
So you know, but it's very honest, very reliable. Just like Saturn, it's like the clock, right, on the schedule. Yeah. So there is an overlap, but typically, you know, I just explain it in number terms. Like number one's like the alpha male, you know, and so forth. Or if you have a number eight, going to be very good in business, you know. But that's also related to what I would say is this: there's no good or bad numbers. And everybody has a special quality or trait that they can use, right? But by the mere fact that you're strong in one direction, it means you're weak in the opposite direction, right? So if you have a very alpha trait, that's great in business or sports or being in the limelight, but that also means you're probably pretty hard-headed, right? So what it is just understanding yourself and in just thinking about your personality, say, oh, that's right. I kind of go overboard, you know, sometimes. Automatically, you're already starting to balance out, because it's just that most people, they're not that self-aware. But then once you realize what your traits are, you can start riding on the positive aspects and not being held by the down by the negative aspects, right?
Yeah. No, for mm-hmm. sure. But yeah, too, I also, because we're time is, you know, going quick too, I definitely wanted to touch on the Buddha and his origins. Okay. And I'm very interested in that because, you know, one of the first, you know, we've been friends a few months now since the summer. Mm-hmm. And one of the first videos I saw about that you made was Buddha a Nordic? And, you know, that's a really topic that I've been interested in for a long period of time as well. And, you know, I would love to hear some of your research that you've done on that. And also, you know, going back to like before we go to that, I also wanted to touch on, you know, going back to like ancient Persia. Mm-hmm. What we were talking about with they had a stellar cult that, you know, the star cults in ancient Persia, where this is where the name the Watchers came from. They were known as they had four royal stars, was known as the Lords, that they called the Watchers, and they ruled over the four cardinal points, and that's what's common to astrology as well. And, you know, this is like 3000 BC, like, you know, so this has been out there, this information, and we've lost it so many times and found it so many times, and each time it's like it gets persecuted and gets lost in the fabric of time, you know. And it's like almost like there's an unseen force that's trying to keep this information not there, you know. But sure. It's like it's imprinted on all of us, and it's like when people hear it, it's almost like it awakens that memory of it from the past.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, just looking into these topics, it actually does open you up, you know, and especially a lot of times there's a reason why, you know, you or myself or your listeners are interested in the topic, because we've done this many times before, right? So just thinking about these things will open you up.
Yeah.
But as far as the Buddhism, my family are Buddhist priests in Japan for 400 years. So I grew up with that tradition, right? And I would say that what people think about Buddhism and many topics in our world is completely opposite, or it's off the mark of what it really is, okay? A lot of people are coming to the conclusion that we really only know the world history about 200 or 300 years back. Then everything before that is basically a big lie. And the Vedics, okay, or like so-called the Indian system, Vedic, they say that, you know, history, written history, is a good lie at best. Yeah. And they prefer to rely more on the mythologies, because there's much more truth in the spiritual traditions and the religious mythologies than the written history.
So right. True. Even mm-hmm. not to cut you off, but even with the Native Americans, I attend a festival each year for like the last mm-hmm. 10 years here. And I've gotten to talk to some of the elders, and they know my family history as well. And they open mm-hmm. to me, and I think I mentioned it once before, but they actually, their oral traditions are way more accurate than our written traditions, because mm-hmm. they choose someone in the tribe at a young age. They look for someone that takes a liking to the stories, or that's really smart and has a good memory and really intelligent, and their whole life is developed to learning these stories word by word, and they can never change it, and it's passed down. So just like in and supposedly the Vedas, supposedly no word has ever been changed from the Vedas, but I mean, how many times has it been translated? How can, I don't know if that's
well, you know, the Vedas, I mean, they're old when they're written down, but they would have been circulating as oral tradition, like you're saying, for thousands of years before it got written down, right?
Yeah.
But basically, so we're talking about Buddhism, right? And what does our mind go to when you say Buddha, right? They're thinking India, right? But what I think that's somewhat of a misdirection, because what people don't realize is the Persia or Iran, right. the Persia sphere had a great overlap with India, and actually
Persia.
A lot of the scholarship is now pointing to the fact that the historical Buddha himself, his family had connections to basically Babylon, which probably blows people's minds, right? They're even saying that his father was probably the figure of one of the three magi that had visited baby Jesus and so forth. You know, whether that story is completely historically true or not, the names, the Gautama name, it's a Gautama in history. It's Siddhartha Gautama. Gautama is the Buddha's name, but they're finding this name Gautama, and it's connected to Persia. So once you start thinking about that, you start seeing that there's a much deeper history to many of the traditions, but Buddhism specifically. I grew up basically at the Buddhist temple because my family are priests. And now what I'm finding is blowing my mind, because basically Buddhism is an extension of a lot of these Atlantean themes. Okay. Now I had a video. You can go look at my YouTube, right? Was Buddha a Nordic, right?
What's your YouTube page?
It's Akaida TV at YouTube. The channel's Akaida TV. It's AKAIDA TV. So basically what people don't realize is the Nordics or the European peoples, they were Vedic pre-1000 AD. Okay, so basically, you know, the pagan, the Nordic, the Scandinavian stuff, it's basically this, that was, there's a major overlap with the Indian. It was basically very, the same culture, okay? And after 1000 AD, like, you know, in Russia, they had the christening of Rus. They became Eastern Orthodox. But you look at the Buddha, right? He was from what they call, his very name. You look at his name. His birth name was Siddhartha Gautama, but he was known as Shaka or Shakyamuni Buddha, okay? So what is that Shaka or Saka? It's the Saks, okay? The Sakas.
Oh, like now, Saxon.
Yeah. And this is a Nordic tribe. They're called the Scythians, although that was coined by the Greeks. A lot of the Russians, they prefer to be called, or the Slavs, the Russians, okay? It's the same tribe. Yep. They call the Skiffs or Scythian, okay? And so this word Sak, where can you find it? Kosak, okay? Kosak, the Russian. Kazakh, that's where Kazakhstan, Kazakhstan come from, and also Saxon. Okay, so the Saxons are the Latinized Germanic Saks. Okay, so it is indisputable that the Buddha, he was from this. He was basically an Aryan prince.
Okay, that's where Anglo-Saxon comes from.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So now, you know, this really, you start to get into it. What do people think about Buddhism? Where are the Buddhist countries? Well, China, you know, now India, not so much, okay, because they're Hindu now.
Yeah.
You have Japan, Tibet, Vietnam, Korea, right? So they're thinking Asia. But who's the Buddha? He's an Aryan prince from Central Asia. His tribe was basically Nordic Slavs, okay? So it's a complete opposite. So this really tells you, okay, and of course, he did have a great wisdom for all peoples. And what the Buddha brought to the table is for all peoples. It's not just for Nordics or so forth. It's for everybody.
He had blue eyes, right? He had blue eyes, right?
He had blue eyes. That's right. That's not a typical Asian trait, I would think. It's more Nordic. Yeah. Because he's, right? So,
and the Nazis knew this. I mean, the Nazis were going in Tibet. They were going in ancient Tibet, ancient everywhere. Looking, they knew they were related to the ancient Tibetan priests, basically.
Mm-hmm. Well, the one thing that we know about the Nazis, right? Although they were genocidal maniacs,
yeah,
you know? And there was more to it. They, you know, it's controversial, but you know, they did do a lot of bad things. They're Nazis, right? But they were interested in some very legitimate things. Okay.
Oh, for sure.
And you know, one of the things that they had perverted was the swastika, because it became connected to all the genocidal things that they were doing, right? But the swastika far predates, you know, modern history. And where can you find it? The Hopis used the swastika. The Indians use a swastika. What's the typical?
Vedic too. You know, that's
yeah. Well, yeah, it's exactly Vedic because it's an Aryan symbol, right? So what's a typical symbol in Buddhism? So the swastika, right? So
they put like they used to put like dots around it too, like in each mm-hmm. of the, you know, they would put like little dots sometimes. It's like the spiral galaxy, right? The swirling vortex too, right?
Well, exactly. It's many things, but it represents vortex energy. It represents portal energy. It represents the pyramid, the orgone energy. But also, like you're saying, it's a solar symbol. It's a galactic spiral arm symbol. But if you look in the sky, right, at the, I believe it's the Big Dipper, in the turn of the four seasons, it creates a swastika. And what are the key points in the swastika? If you look at the constellational arrangement, it's Orion's belt. Okay,
Orion. So, and if you break down the Aryan word, that is Orion, Arian, Orion, Aryan.
Right. You know? So this is a thing also. Okay, because when you get into these topics, it is very explosive and very controversial. Okay.
Yeah.
But I think that we're just bringing this out for people to think about, right? So, now the word itself, Aryan, right? It just means learned person. It's like a high druid or a magician or, you know, so forth. A learned, like, scholar, you know, or but also have the wisdom, right? So it doesn't have to be connected to a specific race. I think that's where the Nazis, they went off the board, right? But if you look, I think there is some connection to the Nordic tribes also. It's undeniable, okay? And you said it yourself. If you trace the etymology, there is a connection between Aryan and Orion,
okay? Oh, yeah.
And there's a connection between these Orion groups in the far north, the North Pole, okay? And who dominates or who has some of the biggest amount of territory around the North Pole? It's Russia. Russia.
Yeah. Well, don't they have like New Swabland over there or something in Antarctica?
That's Antarctica, but this is North Pole, the opposite end. But basically, there's a lot about this this topic of Russia. Because, you know, we're both Americans. You're in New York. I'm in L.A. For, you know, generations, we've been told Russia's a backwater, not even worth looking into.
Yeah, right.
You know what?
Yeah.
If you're into occultism, Russia is highly interesting. And, you know, I deal with the Orgonite pyramids, right? People can check them out on my website. Great energy tools. When I say pyramid, where does your mind go to?
Egypt, of course.
Right, yeah. Giza, right? Like, some people might say, like, Mayan pyramid, but typically Egypt, right? Who has the most advanced pyramid research?
Well, Russia still is
Russia,
you know, making pyramids. Yeah, they're still making pyramids. They're like
They have the most advanced pyramid research. They've actually built huge pyramids in Russia. They have a pyramid community over there, okay? So why would it be that of all the people in the world, it's not the Egyptians, it's not like the Mayans or, you know, in Mexico, it's not the Americans, it's not the Europeans, it's the Russians that have not only the most advanced pyramid research, but they are hands down the leaders in quantum technology and frequency and resonance research. There's a reason, because just like we were talking about the Buddha, and basically in my thinking, this is connected to the bloodlines that go to pre-flood. These are Atlantean bloodlines, okay? Same thing with Russia. There is a historical and genetic connection that is deep in the Russian culture that nobody is talking about. But we're talking about it here on Spiral Radio, Ron.
Yep. And really, yeah, and in the last, you know, 5 minutes that we have, I really want to bring up too, like, you know, I feel that there, you know, there's an old energy, an old force that's been contained almost, and that's being released now, and it's a new shift coming, like a cycle. And this is where there was recently a deep explosion deep in space, and also a deep explosion deep deep beneath the earth here. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this energy is being released now, and this is where the whole idea of the fallen or the watchers have come from. And I think that this is coming back around again, and this whole, the fallen angels and the watchers and the fallen, this whole topic, it goes right back into what the Nazis were looking for and these ancient cultures as well. And I really feel like, you know, that, you know, the whole world is meant to be fighting, you know, and they have us all preoccupied with religion, and it's part from this Orion group. You know, I really think that they gave us religion to preoccupy us and fight with and have the humanity fighting. And these Orion groups, some of them are tricksters, and I feel like that they were some of the fallen. And if you even take the Catholic Church of Misaki, you know, people get so touchy if you talk about church or if you talk about, that's because you take the Catholic Church, it's the biggest ritual on earth right now. You have people lining up every Sunday morning to take a blood offering. I mean, seriously, in the name of their God, they're taking a blood offering. And, you know, you got the priest up there in his special garb, his cloak. He's burning incense. He's ringing a bell. Everybody's chanting the same words. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, that's the biggest ritual of all. I mean, that's witchcraft right there. How people don't see that, you know, and they're taking a blood offering. And then if you mention church, or that people get so touchy because they've been taking blood offerings in the name of their God. And people are so preoccupied with religion. And I think these fallen are returning, and all these channelers that are channeling this in as well. This is not any new age. They call themselves new agers. There's nothing new age about it. Because if you look at John Dee back all those years ago, he and this guy named Kelly, you know, they were looking into a black stone, an amethyst stone, and they were channeling. They called them angels, and it was an Enochian language, you know? And I think that's the same thing that's going on with these channelers nowadays. They're getting tricked by this Orion group.
Well, you know, we talked about this before, and it was one of the past shows. But basically, you can have an intellectual intelligence, right? Like a logical intelligence. But a lot of people, they lack the inner wisdom, right? So now that the energy is shifting, you could say the focus of the culture, it is moving towards a lot of this so-called New Age stuff, right? But they're just impressed when they get, say, if they're messing around with a Ouija board, they're just impressed they get contact. But they're not thinking about the implications or if it's good or bad, right? And there was that recent fire in Oakland, the ghost ship, which was, you know, a lot of the Burning Man types. I've talked to people, I mean, people can look into it for themselves, but I've talked to people that were there that knew the people that were running it. I just think that people have to be very discerning, and we do live in a world of all kinds of dimensions and energies, and, you know, it's time to kind of gain some wisdom about, you know, there is polarity here. It's not all good, you know, but if you just do basic work, because there's so many things going on in the world, but, you know, what I teach people is just do your basic work. You know, balance yourself. It's called zero point, right? Be non-reactive. Don't get angry just off the cuff, you know, because cooler heads prevail, right? And we saw what happened. I mean, it's still going on, this whole election cycle. And when did you see the things that were happening before in an election cycle before, where they're like, F this guy or whatever, and you know, people and their families are fighting back and forth between friends, and
rioting in the streets afterwards, fighting. Yeah, man. It's
so, like, you have to find that zero point. You know, become grounded, energetically grounded. So, and I do teach this in my classes. So,
And then the chat room, they're loving the show. We're getting great. And that next time, you know, I had wrote down to talk about the Lotus Sutra. And so many other things. we never get to any of it. But I wanted to bring up too with the Black Mirror, you know, being black.
Well, it's a good show, Ra. Always love being on.
Yep. So we'll have you back again, Misaki. Everybody, You can get them at akaida.com. It's been a great show. You can find me at themysticalspiral.com. We will always, yes, the chat room, we will always have him back. Probably in a couple of months, he'll be back on. And yes, everybody, thanks for joining us again. And it's a great night. And once again, I will say, Spiral out. Fear that you can taste.